I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Organic Gardeners. Doug and Jess just moments away. I want to remind you, we're going to take the 10th caller right off the bat to begin the program, and that person at 412-922-1020 wins a $25 gift certificate from the great folks at Sorgles out in Wexford. 866-391-1020, the number to reach Doug and Jess. Going to get busy because folks are thinking warm. Punxsutawney Phil said spring is coming, so the plans are already ramping up for your garden. And what you need to know is this program will help you with all of your needs. 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, and you can text us on the right automotive line, the best deal in town. Here they are. From the Tribune Review and, of course, EverybodyGardens.com, Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
We get to this point of the year, and I want spring. It's been an
I think
easy,
most of us do.
It's been an easy winter, but, boy, it was cold this morning. It really wasn't that cold, but it was just, it seemed cold.
It's cold. It's cold. It's cold in the studio
today. Is that confirmation?
It's cold in the car.
Confirmation.
It is. You're
cold?
Not crazy. That's okay. It's very cold outside.
I want to be frolicking in the garden. I want to be enjoying the warmth. I want to be. I want spring to come.
I hear you on all of that, but it's almost seed starting time. And for me, when seed starting time arrives, that's the sign that spring has officially, you know, was right around the corner.
It's actually 30 days from when I will plant my peas outside.
There you go.
So,
right?
A month away.
Oh, that's right. It is the 17th today, isn't it?
So it's a month away, but
yeah.
Still, it just drags. It gets to this time of the year for me anyway. I'm trying to think, what am I going to write about? What am I going to do a video on? What am I going to talk about until we can really get started?
Well, for me, getting started is seed starting for sure. And one of the things that I like to do this time of year or over the next couple of weeks is potting soil, which sounds a little ridiculous, but if you're looking for a great way to save money in seed starting and save money in container gardening this summer, making your own potting soil is a great way to do that. When you buy a bagged commercial mix of potting soil, it can get pricey, especially if you're like me and you have a lot of big containers to fill. So I make my own. I have recipes that I use, and I actually just posted them all online in an article on my website, Savvy Gardening, savvygardening.com. The top article is DIY potting soil and how to make your own. There's a special blend.
How much do you make?
Well, it depends. Like for seed starting, I'll just do a little, like one of those 40-gallon tubs, you know, those plastic tubs that you buy, and I'll do that about halfway full for seed starting because I don't need as much. But then for when I get to do my containers outside, I'll do our big tractor cart and I'll mix it up in there, and I buy all the ingredients separate, including the fertilizer ingredients. So I will buy separate, like alfalfa meal, cottonseed meal, green sand, sulfate of potash, and I'll mix my own organic fertilizer in there, and it's so cost efficient. And you can save it from year to year.
Stuff?
At the garden center. The garden, buy a big giant bag of perlite and a bale of peat moss. And a lot of times that one bale of peat moss, because it's compressed, it'll last me 2 or 3 years. And I'll just, you know, mix batches up from that. So it's a great cost saving.
So what's in it? The fertilizers, the organic fertilizers,
mm-hmm.
The perlite.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends.
What else did you say?
It depends on what you're using that blend for. So for example, for me, for seed starting, I don't use perlite. I use vermiculite instead. So it's a peat moss base. If you don't like peat moss, you can use core fiber. And then a lot of my mixes that I do for outdoor plants, I also include compost, but I don't do that for the seed starting ones because of it's pretty heavy for that. So it's all different ratios that you mix. And then if you're growing cacti and succulents, then you want to have coarse sand in there to make it a little more well-draining. If you're growing trees or perennials, then you add like a composted wood chips in there. So all of those ratios, I have on that article on Savvy Gardening, I have six different recipes for six different needs and the different ratios that you mix them in.
Give you something to do.
Something to do. Exactly. And it saves you money. And even if you just start with the seed starting stuff to see if you like it, make sure that, you know, you can get a real good consistent blend. I mean, this is how when I started working in a nursery when I was 15, this is how the nursery owners made their potting soil. They did not buy bagged mixes. They actually had he had a big cement mixer, like an electric cement mixer. And he would literally shovel in shovels full of different ratios of ingredients according to what we were potting up. Then he'd spin it in the cement mixer and then dump it into this big bin that we would then fill the flats with.
I think it'd
be
especially good, like you said, when you have so many containers.
Yes.
You know, because that's when it, to me, gets really pricey.
Super pricey. And I do like 50, and some of my containers are really big. Every year, and
are you dumping
the
whole thing out from your container, or half of it, or
I empty it all. Oh. The only at the end of every season, I empty all my containers. The only things I don't empty are like the things that I overwinter in their pots. Like I have a banana tree, my fig plants. I have a rubber tree plant, so I have some things that just stay in that pot. And then every couple of years, I just pot them up into a bigger size pot with new potting soil.
So eventually, can't be moved.
Exactly, and then I have to either prune it back super hard. And even root prune it or give it away or get a new
one.
Or
in quote marks, forget about it. And it gets too cold and we start again.
Accidentally leave it outside, right? I've done that as with my hibiscus tree. You know I did that one year.
The other thing we can think about too is the summer flowering bulbs, the ones that you plant in the spring, the dahlias and glads. Well, anymore, glads are perennial. But yeah, all those spring flowering bulbs. I love dahlias. You know, this is the time to look at the dahlia catalog. See what you want to do, you know, big, giant, beautiful.
Yeah. And a lot of the great bulb catalogs like Brent and Becky's, which is one of our I know it's one of my favorites. I think it's one of yours too. They have their, you know, their catalog that sells all the tulips and daffodils and things in the fall. But then they also have a separate catalog that's all summer blooming bulbs. So it's like your lilies and, you know, your dahlias and things like that. And they even sell, I think, like cannas and caladiums and those tuberous begonias and things like that. And it is really kind of another fun way to enjoy a catalog, but isn't seed related. So if you can place your order for those now, then you know that they're not going to sell out of those varieties. And then they ship them to you at the correct planting time for our gardening zone. So you're not going to end up with a giant box of bulbs at the end of February or early March. They won't send them until early, you know,
yeah,
early May, mid-May, and then you can go out and plant them in the garden. That's how I love to get my lilies. And I love lilies.
Mm-hmm. That's how Brent from Brent and Becky says you should do it. He says he likes to plant his lilies in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Get them going.
What's your favorite lily? Which ones do you like best?
You know, anything that smells. I really, even though it's, I guess, now common, but Stargazer, sure, you can't go wrong with Stargazer. It's just got this beautiful kind of purplish mottled flower that it puts on a ton of flowers. It comes back year after year, and it smells amazing. But, I mean, I'm growing tons of, like, old heirlooms now in the vegetable garden because the deer are after them. The deer have gotten even worse for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm cutting out edges of beds for lilies, and now my hydrangeas are in the vegetable garden.
I think that means you need to fence your whole yard in, actually. If I could afford
to do it, I would. I'd do it with razor wire.
Oh, jeez. Happy Sunday morning.
Get the deer, keep the deer out, and the neighbors. No.
All right.
You don't even know where to go with that. To you. It's like, what's the transition here?
I'm used to romper room, and this ain't romper room. All right. Listen, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, instant access, kdkradio.com. You can text us on the Red Automotive Line, best deal in town.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Organic Gardeners. Congratulations again to Judy of Pittsburgh. We've got another gift certificate coming up in just a couple of moments from Janoski's in Clinton. And Doug's going to be at Sorgel's.
That's right. I'm going to be at Sorgel's this Thursday, 7 p.m. It's $5, but you get a coupon for that amount to use at Sorgel's. Tips and tricks for getting your seeds started. And as you can imagine, I can't wait to get my seeds started. Just go to Sorgel's.com or call 724-935-2090 to register. That's 724-935-2090. I'll be at Sorgel's Thursday, 7 p.m.
You ready to talk to the folks?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Jim in Coriopolis. Hey, Jim, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning. I very much enjoy listening to your show every Sunday morning. I'm no longer in Coriopolis. I'm in Cranberry now on the road.
All right.
I have a question about an oak tree. Now, I don't know one oak from another, but when we had that ice storm at Thanksgiving, it had a lot of ice on it, and now I've noticed way, way up in the tree, a lot of branches are broken and hanging. I don't want to lose the tree. Can you tell me when is the premium time to have it pruned?
Right now.
Has to be dormant.
Right now.
Yep. Yep.
And if I can't have a tree man, I would say right now, what is the time frame, or is it like temperature?
It's really that it's during the dormant season, and this is particularly important with oaks because of oak wilt. The beetle that transmits oak wilt is active, you know, when the tree is out of dormancy, so you really need to make sure that you only do any pruning on oak during the winter months. However, that being said, whatever tree care company you use, you don't just hire a dude with his name slapped on the side of the truck, because, you know, oak wilt can also be transmitted by equipment. If they're climbing up in there and they're using spikes, if they don't have that equipment sterilized and cleaned, they can transmit the pathogen that way as well. So, you know, that's why you need to go with an ISA certified arborist, which is International Society of Arboriculture, ISA certified arborist, because they're going to know the proper way to do that pruning in a safe way that doesn't, you know, promote the transmission of that disease. And that's really important with oaks because we're losing a lot of oaks to oak wilt.
Okay. And I hear you promote Davie Tree Service. Mm-hmm. They would qualify as that?
Absolutely. And they actually, you can have them come out and they'll come out and assess the tree for free and let you know, what's involved in getting those branches out of there. And they would definitely be the best people to come out and have a look at that.
Well, all right then. Thank you very much. Okay. I'll give them
Thank
a
you.
Call.
Thank you.
All right. Up next, it's Lucille in Sharpsburg. Hey, Lucille. Good morning.
Lou, I know. I'm going to say what I want. Either you talk or
okay,
I talk.
Okay, we're here. We're here. You're on air. Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. This is Lucille DeLuca from Sharpsburg.
Hi, Lucille. What's on your mind this morning?
We have a blue spruce pine tree, and we have the landlord next door. My husband was concerned because the needles were going into the gutters and things like that, and he's getting older to be able to get up on the pass and cut the branches. Well, the fella said he'd get someone to come. Well, they came, and he sheared a partial part of the tree back to the trunk. And now we're afraid that the tree is going to, and he left the top of the tree, so we're afraid that the tree might fall over.
Well,
so do we need to have the top of the tree topped now?
No,
that's the worst thing you could ever do to a tree.
So we're not sure. I mean, we expected them to trim the tree, not take it back to that side near the house to take it back to the trunk.
Right.
So it looks like there's a bite out of it. There's like a bite out of the tree.
Right. I mean, I don't think that necessarily is going to make the tree so lopsided weight-wise that it's going to cause the tree to collapse and fall over. I would be hesitant. You said it's a blue spruce?
Yes.
Okay, so I would be hesitant to do any pruning at all on it beyond what you absolutely have to do. There's canker that's easily spread by pruning equipment with that, again, depending on who they had come, as we were talking to the last caller about.
We never even saw who, never even saw who came.
Right. So
they never knocked on the door or anything.
Hopefully they had good, clean equipment that they were using.
Oh, I'm hoping.
The only thing I could think of that you could do is have an ISA-certified arborist come out and thin out the opposite side of the tree, trim back.
Or at least look at it and decide what could be done.
If anything, they may say, this is a structurally sound tree.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a problem that anything was pruned out. But to have someone like Davy Tree come out and just assess that health of that tree, I think is going to give you a little bit of peace
especially
of mind on that.
Especially with blue spruce nowadays.
Right, exactly.
All right. Hey, good luck with that, Lou. So let's get to some of the social media action. First, Dollar Bank Instant Access. I have a Christmas cactus that is starting to yellow on some of its leaves. If I repot, what kind of soil should I use?
I just like to use standard planting mix that you get at any nursery. Even though it says cactus, it's not really a cactus. I grow them as a house plant, only a little drier than most of my house plants. And what do you think about the yellowing?
I would, if it's one they've had for a long time and it suddenly started to turn yellow, I wonder what else might be going on with it, because it is not a plant that normally does that. So I don't. Maybe someone extra in the house started watering it, and then suddenly it's getting twice as much water as it used to. Or did the light conditions change for that tree or that plant?
Or the opposite, and no one's ever watered it.
Right, which would also cause those symptoms. So, I would think about that kind of stuff as well before you consider whether or not it definitely needs to be repotted.
Do you have any Christmas cactus in your house?
I do not. No, I don't.
I have one that's starting to bloom now.
Oh.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right.
A President's Day cactus.
Yeah.
Right Automotive text message. Jessica, are those recipes in your book Container Gardening?
Yes, they are. They are also in Container Gardening Complete, which is in my book. And then you can also get them at the website savvygardening.com.
And here's
a recipe for potting soil.
Potting soil. Six
in case
different
you didn't
recipes.
Listen in the morning, you it, might be right. thinking it's a recipe for
cooking or something. No, if you missed the first segment, I was talking about how I mix my own potting soil instead of buying the bagged mixes to save money. And I posted all my recipes in that article. And yeah, they're in the book too.
Quite a cookbook.
Cookbook of dirt.
Yeah.
Oh, so crunchy. All right, listen. Treated lumber is safe now. Anita wants to know from a Keysport, 30 seconds.
I just wrote an article about this recently with building raised beds. So the current pressure treating methods are safer to use than the CCA, which was chromium, copper, arsenic, which is definitely that kind of lumber you wanted to keep out of the vegetable garden. The newer treatments are a little less toxic. However, I would say to try to maybe plant flowers around the outside edge just to keep it. It's better safe than sorry.
Shelby Cassese is in the newsroom. Your news 2 minutes away.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, now just wait a second. Now we're on the air. You did it. You opened it up. Listen, I love the Rolling Stones, okay? And don't even tell everybody what you paid for this ticket to see them perform, because I want people to still think it's the Stones of, the Miss You Stones and Waiting for a Friend Rolling Stones and, all of that stuff. Paul McCartney.
Why do you have to bring this up? This is off the air stuff.
I don't care. That's what
we
do. I
paid $39.50 for a Stones ticket in today's climate.
That's what you paid for Westview Park in 1963.
And I declared that's because nobody wants to go see the Rolling Stones.
Oh, don't say that. They want to see them.
That's why every show sells out.
Let me ask you this. Because I'm a big...
Because the tickets are only $39.
You can only get a couple tickets for $39, and it's only... If you do it at the right time, they're called lucky dip tickets, and you press a special button.
So you're a lucky dip?
That's me.
Guess how many times Mick has had a facelift? Be the fourth caller.
No. If you look at that face, I don't think that one's been
lifted. I love Mick Jagger. He's in better shape than me. But McCartney's world touring, too. Just explain this to me. You're the music guy in the room. Why do they still do this, Doug?
Because they love it.
Okay.
You tell him, Jess. You tell him why they do it.
Don't
why,
you?
Why, you tell him why performers do this.
He's a little hot under the collar about this. He's
you
really
nailed him
defending.
On that price pretty good.
He's really defending the Rolling Stones.
Anyway,
they like the attention.
Okay.
They want to be up there on the stage. They like the attention from
Is
the
Brad
fans.
On the phone?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying that's why they keep going.
You got to have a little ego to get up in front of that many people, no doubt. Let's go to Frank in Coriopolis on the Organic Gardeners. By the way, 10th caller right now wins a gift certificate to Janoski's 412. 1020. Hi, Frank.
I brought this subject up a little while ago, but I didn't go far enough with it. I have a dogwood tree in my backyard. It's beautiful, and when the flowers come out, it's like a champagne color. It's really beautiful. The only thing is, with the rain we had last year, I have branches going everywhere. I mean, they're really shooting off way in one direction, a little bit less in another direction. And you mentioned something on the order of if you're going to prune it, to get an arborist. What would something like, first of all, would you recommend getting an arborist to trim one single dogwood tree? And second of all, how much would something like that run?
First off, they'll come and take a look at it for free. That's the nice thing. And then they'll tell you it's all dependent on what kind of work they have to do. You know, how many hours it's going to take to do it. So they have to actually look at it. Every tree is going to be different. I'll tell you what, it's reasonable. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I've had big, giant oak trees cut down for, you know, under $1,000. Pruning up a dogwood is not going to be outrageous. And, you know, I've been using the guys in Baby Tree long before they were part of the show. And they have what just says. They've got an official ISA arborist. That's what you want. That's what you have to have, an expert who's been trained at this. Do you have that number for Davey?
I do. And it's especially important with dogwood that you have a good quality arborist come out because of anthracnose and other diseases that they're prone to. So,
right, because it's such a beautiful tree, and
yeah.
I hate to do something myself and then damage it.
Exactly. Exactly. So Davey's number, Davey Tree, is 855-982-TREE. 855-982-8733.
Okay, well, I have a similar question about an azalea.
Sure.
Would I need an arborist for that, or can I do that on my own?
I think you can do that on your own. However, you know, it's always best, I think. You know, it's hard to learn pruning from a book, but it's better than not going through the effort at all. So I would do one of two things. Either go to the library and get a book like the Pruning Answer Book, which is a great book. There's also another pruning guide that an author named Lee Reich, and I can't remember the exact name of his book, but he talks about good pruning techniques. Or there's a lot of folks now who have some pretty good YouTube videos out on pruning. I would just make sure that it is someone either with like a cooperative extension agent showing you or a nurseryman showing you. You know, don't just watch a video from Joe Schmo.
That's the problem with the internet.
Right.
Is you have to have a reliable source to show you what to do.
So make sure it says like, you know, from the University of Vermont Cooperative Extension or from Penn State Cooperative Extension. You know, look for those channels on YouTube, and those are the ones whose videos that you should follow for pruning techniques.
Okay, and what was that first pruning book you mentioned?
I think it's called the Pruning Answer Book.
Okay.
And then Lee Reich, R-E-I-C-H, is a horticulturist, and he has a pruning book out as well. He has a bunch of books, but he's like a sort of backyard fruit-growing expert and really knowledgeable, and he's another really good one book-wise for pruning.
And the thing with an azalea, as we always talk about, is that it has its buds on there now. And so unless it has to be pruned, you want to see your flowers.
Yeah.
So you don't want to cut it too early.
So wait till after it blooms mm-hmm. and then do your pruning.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank
you're welcome.
All right. Great call. Thank you. Let's take care of some of this social media stuff. First off, Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDKRadio.com from Christy. I have an idea in my yard or have an area in my yard that used to be a garden. I'd like to put one there again. What's the best way to remove grass and weeds that grew in its place?
Oh, that's
I say
good
cover
question.
It. Cover it with newspaper and compost.
I think it depends on what kind of garden you want to build, too. So, for example, if you want to do one out of raised beds, you don't have to remove that sod. You can just put the raised beds right down on top of the sod, fill them with the soil, and then if you want to do like bark or something in the pathways instead of having grass, then you can scalp that grass really short and then smother it. So put cardboard and then your bark mulch or something right down on top of that.
I always tell people what you want is what you want, but I had bark mulch. I had actually wood chips in a path in a garden, and you could never walk barefoot in that garden.
It was like spongy. Yeah. It got spongy.
No,
yeah.
the wood chips were too
pinchy.
Rough. Yeah. So that's why I always like grass in the paths. But you do what you want to do. You know,
yeah.
if you prefer to have like a nice mulched
yeah.
path. But and a lot of people say you shouldn't even walk in the garden barefoot. But
you got to get those good.
I have to walk in the garden
barefoot.
I agree.
But if you don't want to do raised beds and you do not, and you can do it the way of smothering it, right? Like pile stuff on top. But if you want it to happen faster, because if you do the smothering, it's going to take a season or so to kill the grass and then become really good plantable soil. If you don't want to do that, when I put my garden in, I actually rented a sod cutter. And so you rent the machine and it cuts the sod in these big long strips and then you roll them up and then haul them off. We composted them.
I did that once.
It's a lot of work.
And I will never do it again.
Right. So you could hire somebody to do it if you don't have the energy to do it yourself. But it's a great, easy way to get rid of just a light layer of sod.
See, I'm thinking since she already had a garden there, put seven, like we do, our 7 to 10 layers of newspaper, put about 4 or 5 inches of compost on there, go to town.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Jade, a Baden winner of that gift certificate from Janoski's. More calls just moments away if you'd like to join us. 866-391-1020.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right. Let's say hi to our buddy Brad out in Clarion joining us now on The Organic Gardeners on KDKA Radio. Hey, Brad.
Brad, what's going on?
Good morning, everybody. Jessica, put my mind back to when I was growing up. My dad used to get the tree trimmers to dump their chips and they're somewhere out of the way and let it sit there for all year and let it compost. And then he'd mix it, put layers of that and layers of manure in the garden. Man, did that boost the garden up.
Yeah, yeah. The trick with those arborist chips is to let them rot down for a little bit first.
Like a little bit? How long's a little bit?
Well, it depends. Now, your dad was smart in that he did mix it with something else. He mixed it with manure because the manure introduced nitrogen. Normally, we would not tell people to put wood chips in the garden, the vegetable garden, and then till them in, because as they decompose, they take a little bit of nitrogen out of the soil to decompose. Eventually, it gets returned to the soil, but it temporarily takes it out of the soil. So that's why in a vegetable garden, we tell people not to till wood chips in. But your dad, by adding that manure along with those wood composted wood chips, added a little bit of nitrogen in the form of the manure, and that made up for that deficiency. But in shrub beds and things like that, to use those wood chips fresh, actually, arborist wood chips as a top layer mulch is actually a good thing. I know there's been a lot of conversation about whether or not that's actually good for your plants, but on trees and shrubs, it's fine to use it on that soil surface.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. She's a grower, horticulturist, and our own garden goddess. Denise, good morning.
Good morning. So everybody wants to know about pruning trees. So one of the things, Sorgles is actually, I don't think they've had it yet, they're actually having a pruning class if somebody wants to go and learn how to do it properly.
I think it's on the 24th, actually, Denise.
Yeah, so that'd be something good. Something else about people, you know, they want to get out there and cut, you know, I realize everybody wants to get out in the garden right now. It's just really not a good time. But take a walk around the neighborhood or look when you're driving, pay attention, and look at the trees that some of the ones that have been pruned improperly. And you'll see these nubs on, you know, a branch, and then you've got all these, I like to call them witch's fingers, that come sticking out. And then look at a tree that's growing naturally or it's been pruned properly, and it has that natural look about it that, you know, it doesn't look like somebody's been in there chewing on the ends of it. You know, a lot of times in the fall, the landscapers, as we affectionately refer to them as, come around and say, oh, well, you know, we'll trim your tree for you, and they prune it into a lollipop shape. And actually, that's the worst time to actually prune a tree, is in the fall. And what happens is then the next year we start getting a lot of the water sprouts and all of these witchy fingers on these trees. So now's a really good time before the leaves come out to actually take a walk around the neighborhood and take a look at the trees and see how beautiful they are when they are grown naturally or pruned properly, as opposed to, you know, people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's so important, because tree pruning is really just as much art as it is science, and it's critical that if you're going to do it yourself, that you get the proper training before you do it, or you hire somebody. If you're not sure how to do it, hire somebody to do it.
Well, this class at Sorgles sounds awesome. Pruning demonstration February 24th, 1 p.m. You get Noah Petronic, who did the video with me about pruning, Adam Vole, who runs the farm, and some guy named Randy Sorgle.
Oh, who could that be?
Yeah, I think he knows his stuff. He's pruned for a while.
I'm pretty sure he knows his stuff, yeah.
But yeah, that would be great. That's always a great thing.
Because they actually take you and show, like, yeah, they show you how to do it. Yeah.
That's the best way to learn. I mean, I learned a lot from Noah the last time that he did the video. And I actually had somebody come up to me yesterday and say that they were, like, so glad to see, you know, somebody from Sorgles show how to actually prune fruit trees the right way.
It's important. It's such an important thing to do properly.
And, right,
and it's not just trees, it's shrubs, too.
You're right. You have the books. You have those diagrams, but seeing somebody do it makes all the difference in the world.
And their confidence in doing it, too. And I think that's a really important thing. Watching somebody prune who is experienced and confident gives you the confidence to do it, because pruning can be really intimidating because you're nervous. You're like, oh my gosh, am I going to kill the plant if I take this off? What if I take too much? What if I don't take enough? Whereas when you see somebody with that experience and you see them just going in and just getting the job done and doing it efficiently and doing it with confidence, and then you realize for yourself, like, okay, well, once I do this a couple times, I'm going to be confident in it too. And then it's going to be a lot easier for me moving forward. And I think that experience really shows in somebody who's training you how to prune.
You know, we talked a little bit about spring or summer flowering bulbs that are planted in the spring. Do you do caladiums, or do you have too much sun for caladiums?
Do you know what? I don't do caladiums. I shouldn't say that. I do them in containers. I have some pots that I did an incredible pink, beautiful pink caladium the other year with a Persian shield plant in a pot, and it was one of the most beautiful combinations that I've ever done.
And I do a lot of caladiums because
I
am
shade.
All shade.
And the deer don't eat them, which is a bonus.
Well, actually, they have eaten them in the past. At the very end of the season, they have eaten them.
Wow.
So
you got hungry deer, man.
Yeah, and I got to figure out a way to do impatience again, too. So I'm trying to find something that's resistant to the disease.
Oh, there's a sun patients is one that is the sun patients, and there's a new line that just came out, and gosh, I can't remember. I'll get it for next week.
I know
week.
Bounce is one that
mm-hmm,
is
that's one I'm
resistant.
Thinking of.
So I have to have my impatience. I mean, that's all. What else would you grow in just the deep shade that I have as an annual?
Begonias, Brohalia, fuchsias.
Mm.
Rex begonias are like my super favorite. There's a lot of choices.
Impatience. Remember, the organic gardener is always aimed to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.